Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678. Here we are on a Memorial Day weekend. I'm here with my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great.
Here to celebrate Memorial Day, the start of summer, and all other festivities. Nice barbecue earlier this evening and all that sort of stuff. Hopefully the weather can hold out for the rest of you, but not over here. So with the start of summer, a lot of things going on. We didn't get to talk about it, but I'd like to talk about it now, was some horse racing. We had the Kentucky Derby run a couple weeks ago. Who was that, Nyquist?
Yes, the favorite, yeah.
Nyquist was the favorite and won. And then at the Preakness, not Nyquist. I think Nyquist came in third.
Right, third. It was Exaggerator.
Exaggerator.
Yeah, the mutter. And then...
His father was a mutter. His mother was a mutter.
They're all mutters. And what happened was the horse ran a fever.
Right.
So, or reported to us that the fever had occurred. And, of course, the speculation would be, you know, was he sound for the race? And so he won't be in the Belmont. So you'll probably catch up with him in Saratoga for the Travers.
Right. So, but Nyquist will be at the Belmont, right?
No.
No?
No. No. So that's out. So there'll be a lot of seats available for the Belmont.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you were crazy to think that there would be another Triple Crown winner.
I know.
I mean, how long in between triple, was it 40 years?
No, 37, something like that.
I mean, it's not going to happen in back-to-back years.
Right, but horse racing is losing its luster, its attendance. It's
no longer the sport of kings?
No, people can't relate to riding a horse.
That's true. That's a good point.
So we're getting a bit removed.
When everybody had one. But that's what cars are now, because everybody had one.
Well, then let us bet on NASCAR.
Yes.
Well, you know, let's make the transition already. This is slow death here with horse racing.
Well, that's true. Yeah, it is. It is pretty much just for the elite and those in the know. You know, if you have enough money where you can breed a horse, then more power to you. Yeah. Well, speaking of car racing, also over this Memorial Day weekend, specifically on the day we're recording, Sunday evening, we had the I think the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500. Off the double check, I think there might have been like a year where I missed, maybe the war. I don't know. No races held due to World War II. So this was the 100th running of the Indianapolis 100. And we had an American win, Alexander Rossi. He's a rookie, and he won.
So that's huge.
That is. So that was a big one.
So there
one.
You go. There's a future in car racing.
I think we all can agree that there's a future in car racing.
Yeah. Now, would you bet on the Google car race?
Probably not. Are they going up against Bing?
They have to have a real driver.
Are they going up against Yahoo? Or like, what are the other cars
that
drive?
That's a good one.
I don't know. I mean, you know, the Google car is very interesting, but in a race, there are certain things. You're going to have to take it off cruise control at some point. You know, if there's a wreck up ahead or if there's too much, you know, the Google car might wait, slow down, and I'll wait for the pace of traffic. So I don't think that would really fit in with how that's working.
Now, I saw recently where there's contingency to make a stick'em hood. So in case it Google car hits a passenger.
Huh.
Because that, you know, so that, but then I'm wondering if your legs are dangling near the headlights and that Google car keeps going and you can't move, lift your legs. So, I mean, all these things have to be built in, but that's a different show.
That is true, yeah. Good point in that. So I also wanted to talk about, we don't usually talk about golf that often. It's not my favorite sport, and, you know, unless it's the majors, It's not really...
Or a golf club goes through a side window.
Or, you know, somebody gets found out with their naughty boy phone the day after Thanksgiving.
Right. Except for that.
Except for that, the newsworthy stuff. But this was rather noteworthy. Phil Mickelson's connection to possible alleged insider trading. And apparently 2 years ago, pretty much to the day, May 30th, 2014, the Wall Street Journal reported that they were investigating, you know, SEC, the Security and Exchange Commission, FBI, were investigating Mickelson for this, and that this actually did come through about, I'd say, 10 days ago, that he was a defendant in a criminal case brought against him for insider trading. So
no, he used this information to gain money to pay a gambling debt?
Probably. Or at least it was in connection with a food company. And
right.
He was looking to make some money.
But is it the Pete Rose thing? Well, he didn't gamble on, you know, golf, so it's okay.
Well, I guess so. Apparently he tipped his friend and quote-unquote professional sports bettor, Bill Walters.
Right.
So Mickelson has a friend who is a sports bettor. So
it sounds like golf is his wife and...
trading is his mistress, or is money's his mistress?
Yeah, no, sports gambling.
Yeah.
Is his girlfriend.
Yeah, I mean, this is the first I've heard about him, you know. He'd be silly if he had bet on himself all those years, you know, where he lost all those big majors, you know, lefty couldn't get it done.
Right.
I wonder if that did happen, if it ever comes out that he was betting. I wonder if he bet on himself and he always lost, and the one he did.
Really?
Yeah, how I think that'd be really interesting. You know, because with the things that have gone on with, you know, we alluded to Tiger Woods, and we've spoken in the past about Matt Harvey, and athletes are fickle individuals, and they have those, what do you want to call them, daily routines, their mental preparation. You know, it turns out Tiger Woods was at his best when he was with other women. And I have a sneaking suspicion Matt Harvey was at his best when he was chewing tobacco.
Right.
But now New York law says you can't do that, so he had to give up that. So I'm wondering if maybe Mickelson, his thing was money. If that's true. I mean, how many majors, no real majors have happened since this has come down. But I'd be interested to see how that you know, if anything happened with that. I don't know, just something popped in my mind. Well, I'm looking around here. He hasn't done much since 2014 in terms of...
Well, you know, these guys that you described, Tiger Woods, Matt Harvey, who was the other one? I mean, they kind of penciled themselves into the Hall of Fame.
True. But I think we're at that point in our lives and in, you know, technologically and the way things are shared, you know, via social media, that things are they're picked apart in the immediate, and there's no long game with it, if you will. There's no time to really sit back and say, hey, let's let this stew, let's take a look. None of that. It's immediate. It's let's go to the next. It's, you know, done for the day. That sort of stuff. So, I just wanted to talk about that real quick.
So there's no more Frank Sinatra's.
No, goodness, no.
His flesh is in the pan.
No. That is very true. Coming up soon is the start of the Stanley Cup playoffs. We have, for the first time ever, the San Jose Sharks in the Stanley Cup final. San Jose, pretty much, they've been in existence for 20-plus years. Ever since their inception, it seemed like they'd been in the playoffs every single year. But
more than the Montreal Canadiens.
Yeah, you know what? Yeah.
Sad to say, right?
Yeah.
So this game has slipped not only south of the border, but west of the continent.
And specifically to Southern California. I saw a stat, and let me actually pull it up real quick.
A lot of reasons to be in Southern California.
Oh, my. Well,
that's just another one.
Let's see. Let's see, 2, 3, 4. So for the fourth time since 2004, a team from Southern California will be in the Stanley Cup Finals.
Right.
The Anaheim Ducks, Los Angeles Kings. How many times have the Ducks been? The Ducks have been twice in their career, in their franchise history.
Before or after the movie?
After. After. Once as the Mighty Ducks of Anaheim, and then as the Anaheim Ducks.
Right.
But most recently, the two-time champions, Los Angeles Kings, and now you can't even call it Southern California. I apologize. San Jose isn't Southern California. No. It's south of San Francisco.
Close enough.
You know, when you think of California, you're not thinking of Sacramento. You're not thinking.
Listen, we're talking about hockey. I mean, where it's no freezing temperatures where these people are.
No, but I forget if I've talked about it here on the podcast, but for anybody who's interested in sort of outlier freakonomics type stuff, I read an article in Sports Illustrated, and they pointed out that there are a lot of, and specifically on the Sharks, on the Kings, and on the Ducks, and around and other teams in the NHL, there are players from Southern California in hockey. Where are all these players coming from Southern California? What's the boon? Well, you know, after Gretzky goes to the Kings in 93, and you mentioned the Mighty Ducks movie, so they get a franchise, San Jose gets a franchise 20-plus years ago. Southern California, the weather's nice. You know, if you're not playing hockey, then you're out at the beach.
Right.
You know, the sun, the women, the men, all that stuff.
Yeah, that's where the action is.
Of course. So then they retire, and they say, I don't want to leave. I'll stay here. I'm not going back to the Czech Republic. I'm not going back to Russia. I'm not going back to Ottawa.
Sure.
So they stay in Southern California. Well, I used to be a hockey player. How about I open my own hockey school, hockey academy? So all these, you know, well-to-do kids, you know, their families put them in
hockey. Ice time is not cheap.
Ice time is not cheap. So here's these kids taking hockey lessons from professional hockey players in Southern California. So they're learning from the best. They move up through the ranks in high school, in college, and then they make it to the NHL, get drafted
back
to these California teams. Yeah. And here they are,
so it's a cycle,
succeeding yet again. And I just think that, you know, so if you're interested in any of those,
right, those demographic type
yes
things,
any of those little bits, it's really interesting to think about how that, not just homegrown,
right,
quite literally homegrown. All right, so the San Jose Sharks came into the league 91-92. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Since that, so from 91 to 92 to 2015-2016, they've only missed the playoffs 6 times.
That's great.
So that's 10 years.
Sorry, are you making them the favorite in this matchup?
Well, it's hard to go against the Pittsburgh Penguins.
That's what I'm thinking.
I mean, the multiple Stanley Cup winning Penguins.
But hockey doesn't necessarily
it doesn't follow trends.
Form.
No, it doesn't. And if it comes down to the Game 7, you never know what will happen.
So what's the better story?
The better story,
the Penguins prevail.
I think the Penguins prevailing would be the better story. That's number one. But and it would be better for the game.
Old school hockey.
Yeah. I mean, they're not an original six, but they've been such a successful franchise.
I get it.
They might as well. You know, Sidney Crosby, all that stuff.
Yeah.
But to see the Sharks win would be pretty interesting, too. I mean, that would be the third in the last 5 years of a California team winning the Stanley Cup after the Kings won them in two previous years. So that's where
the good horses are coming from California now.
Yes, it's
shipping
true.
East.
Yeah. The wine, the horses, the hockey players.
Go west, young man. Still good advice.
So I'd be interested in the Penguins, but to see the Sharks too would work. There's no loser. And then moving on to the other playoffs that are going on currently, the NBA playoffs.
Oh, that's some shocking, exciting stuff.
And the Cavaliers have finally made it back. Everybody figured they would. But Toronto put up a big fight. Everybody
I know, but the story is James.
The story is James, LeBron.
Sure, in the playoffs. Can he get him in the finals? Yeah.
Again. Can he bring it? I mean, everything.
It's a good story.
It's only a good story if they win.
If the Warriors are there.
No, not necessarily.
Okay.
I mean, as of recording this, they're going to a deciding game seven on Memorial Day, Monday, Memorial Day.
Tomorrow.
Yes. So this is three games apiece, Golden State and Oklahoma. And when I was here with Alex, I said I'd be very shocked if Oklahoma beat Golden State.
Yeah, sure.
And I'm shocked that they beat them three times, put them down in a hole.
But now, who do you like?
Well, it's going back to Golden State.
You got to take the Warriors. Right?
You have to. But, man.
I know. They made it tougher than it had to be.
The Thunder have just been rolling, and they were forgotten in the Western Conference between the Spurs only losing one game at home.
Right, that was amazing.
And then Golden State winning more games in a season than any other franchise.
Amazing. That covers some good Bulls teams.
Yes, and they got forgotten. Bulls teams, Celtics teams, Lakers teams.
Right.
Forgotten, an afterthought. They'll never make it past the first round, let alone the second.
Yeah.
And here they are in the semifinals. And they're one game away. And they could have had it. They had a lead against Golden State in game six.
Yeah, I know.
But those threes, they finally come back. But Steph Curry's not at 100%. Everybody keeps talking about his giant swollen elbow, which has probably thrown off his three-pointer game. And it's becoming an issue. But look,
I think the three-point game in general in the NBA is becoming an issue.
But thanks to Golden State, it's coming back. I'd like to say that's because of Steve Kerr. I mean, he always...
But do you like it?
I love the three.
Oh, okay.
I love the three. Reggie Miller with the three.
But so much of it looks uncontested.
Well, because they...
Doesn't seem like the sport part of it all.
Well, but at the same time, you have to think about it as...
Skill.
Well, big high-risk, high-reward.
No, I get it.
You know, you go in, you drive the lane, you do a layup, you slam dunk. That's two, but you're more guaranteed to get it.
I think you'll extend your career doing this.
The three-pointer?
Sure.
Sure. Ray Allen stayed in the league for X amount of years longer than he maybe, not should have, but, you know, he stuck around a lot longer because he was able to knock the threes down.
Yeah.
But I'm sure Steve Kerr has a big part of it. You know, he was Jordan's three-point man
in the second half. But I'm just thinking of it like making it a further shot. But the problem is you got the sideline. It can only go so far.
Yeah.
So you can't have a true arc.
Well, would you want it? See, if you're going to add another line, then you have to double the points, or you have to make it a higher point value.
Yeah, I guess I don't, you know, I'd like to see more interaction than so many threes taken.
Well, that's a good question.
Yeah. But what do the fans think? That's what really matters.
The three is an exciting... The three is the home run, the bomb, the half...
It's the eight-point touchdown.
Right.
Instead
it's
of seven.
It's the slap shot. It's it's all those hold your breath moments.
It's not
moments.
Going away.
It's not going away. But I'm kind of glad to see it's coming back.
Right.
You know, the finesse aspect. Because I hear people, you know, say, these players don't have a mid-range game.
I guess I like contested shots.
Well, then you got to get somebody on them to jump up and try to block.
I know.
But we'll never know if that's going
to... It's like in football, trying to get somebody to cover Gronkowski.
It's very tough to do if you're not prepared.
The Gronk.
So if James doesn't win the finals, it's just another, okay, you did good, but you didn't do great.
I don't know. There's a lot of people that still want him to succeed and cut him all kinds of breaks.
But look, if he wins a title in Cleveland, all is forgiven, not just in Cleveland.
I think even if he doesn't. People don't expect a lot out of Cleveland.
No, but when you get brought to the promised land so many times and you don't follow through, that was Elway's problem.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a problem for a lot of players, and not just in the NBA. But all around, you know, sports. You know, if you don't get this done, what does it matter?
But Cleveland's the mistake by the lake for a reason.
I mean,
the GOP is having their convention with Trump there this year. I mean, you know.
That is true. It's a good point. Driving through the city, that's very high buildings, but not a lot of people walking around. So, take that for what you will.
Make the NBA great again. Cleveland.
Yes. And in Washington, Bryce Harper's trying to make baseball fun again.
Well, at 23 years old, I mean, this is a phenom.
He's baseball's Tim. He's baseball's Tim Tebow, and what I mean by that is, he's a Mormon. I know Tebow wasn't a Mormon, but he's a Mormon. He's slightly unorthodox. He brings a youthful aspect to it,
right.
And he's making him and Trout, although Trout seems to have quietly disappeared,
tapered off.
Well, not production wise, just in every he's
in conversation,
right? Because, you know, for whatever reason, you know,
it's a new flavor of the month.
But that's also his team's problem. Right. He's also in a difficult division where everybody else is building up. But Bryce Harper is in a place that is DC. It's in the East. There's a lot of exposure.
And they're winning.
And Bryce Harper is
a big part of that.
He's a very big part of it.
Yeah.
And Strasburg is a big part of that too.
Right.
He just signed a big contract, which is shocking. Because he's a Boris client,
right?
And he signed a contract with the Nationals for big money too. And he's actually putting
it. And then went out and smoked his co-stablemate there, Harvey.
Yeah, the chance of Harvey's better has quieted down significantly. Matt Harvey is still struggling, his second and especially his third time through. You know, their articles say now that the Mets have pinpointed what the mechanical flaw is, and they're going to try to correct it. But if this doesn't...
Yeah, and it's a link between the brain and something else.
I think there's a lot of reasons. Everybody has their own ideas.
Well, I think it's obviously when he pitches, he expects not to have any contact. Whereas a guy like Cologne, you watch him pitch, and he lets him hit it, but they don't have anything on it.
Right.
So I think Harvey's just been spoiled by overpowering people.
Oh, of course.
And now he's going to have to learn how to pitch.
Well, look at
so here's another guy that penciled himself basically into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. Well, look at somebody like Lincecum. Tim Lincecum just got signed by the Angels.
Right.
And, I mean, he was a two, three-time Cy Young Award. He had almost no stress on his arm.
Yeah.
Until, you know, after pitching for 6-7 years at such a high level. He finally has to have surgery on his arm,
right.
And he fell off big time. Yeah. So now he got signed, and he's one who he was incredible, and you wouldn't think anything happened, but he was a fastball pitcher, and he lost some miles an hour on his fastball,
right.
And so you have to change up what you're doing. And somebody like Cologne, who used to be a fastball specialist, now he's mixing it up.
So it's obvious. A lot of the problem is... you know, ear level, behind the nose.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a big part of the brain. But that's why I'm saying I have a theory about Harvey with the chewing tobacco.
Yeah,
you know, the same reason in hockey, talking about playoff hockey, the beards.
Yeah.
They still do the beards because it's tradition
well,
and because it's the same.
But, you know, I can go a little further with that with recovery because now that you're not doing it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so now that you're not doing it, it's a form of surrender. It's like
true.
You never like to hear in football a guy quit drinking. You know, it's a form of surrender. He's not going to be the big hitter he used to be.
That's an interesting look.
So,
look at it.
It's a combination of a lot of things, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Immaturity,
yeah.
You know, is a big part of it. And I think it emotionally has been that.
I think so, too. And then Noah Syndergaard has been picking
the
up the slack. He is. And then with this weekend series against the Dodgers, you know, Chase Utley and sliding into second base, Tejada breaking his...
with Utley already.
All that stuff. And Noah Syndergaard, you know, threw behind him.
Yeah.
And it was immediately tossed. No warnings.
Right.
No nothing. Just...
Yeah. They're going to get on top of this.
Now, on the one hand, with what happened in Texas with Batista and Odor, man...
We never talked. That was brewing over the winter.
Yeah, it sure was.
That was a steeped cup.
But they said, what was it? In that game, Odor was a 3-for-5, and he only had 2 bases.
Yeah,
he had a third hit, too.
Right.
So, you know, the unwritten rules of baseball, talking about making baseball great again. Harper likes to talk about that.
Yeah,
where
sure.
He hates that stuff.
Right.
I mean, Papelbon tried to choke him because he wouldn't run out of fly ball
right.
in the end of September. What do you want from me? How about I just hit the ball hard? He won the MVP, and he was being told by, you know,
of all people
telling him, hey, rookie, hey, boy.
It's good theater, though.
Hey, boy, of course it is. So, but just the fact that he wasn't warned.
Yeah.
And it's not like it was Cologne who was throwing that pitch or a spot starter. This is Syndergaard, and the fact that he was tossed pretty much cost the Mets that game because then Utley went on a hit two home runs, including a grand slam, and the Mets lost 9-1. If Syndergaard was in that game, had stayed in that game, it would not have been 9-1.
Right.
Would the Mets have won? I don't know, but I can tell you they would not have lost 9-1. But anybody could have told you that.
Right.
So that's just how that is.
There's too many rules and etiquette baseball situations.
It's very true. And looking around the league, the Cubs are 33 wins.
They're like 3-1 to win the World Series in Vegas.
Yeah.
As a future bet, and I like that. I mean, they're really paced out, you know.
They're great.
Scoring runs like crazy.
Oh, yeah, their run scoring is just unbelievable.
So they're exciting. I mean,
but amazingly, they only have 2 wins better than the San Francisco Giants. You know, everybody talks about it's an even year with the Giants. You know, they've won their last couple championships in even years.
Yeah.
2010, 2012, 2014. But they're doing it well, and they're doing it with pitching mainly. I mean, Johnny Cueto, Madison Bumgarner, Jeff Samardzija. I mean, those are the big names that have really... And a bullpen. Great bullpen, too. So, that's around the league. I mean, you know, the Mariners, you know, I've been holding up.
Not feeling it.
They've held up their...
Red Sox, not feeling it.
No. I can understand that. How about
the... White Sox are the story, but who, you know, you
but
can't believe that could happen.
No.
And all Chicago World Series?
Well, right now, they're a half game out. They're behind Cleveland. By a half game. Cleveland.
Yeah, but still, I mean, who expected anything out of the White Sox? I mean, I think that's one of the amazing stories so far.
Yeah. No, absolutely it is. Because they're the only ones that haven't been to the playoffs in X amount of years. I mean, as Seattle, too. But Texas is right on their heels. But that's Central.
It's exciting.
Yeah. The Tigers have hit a hit and all that stuff. So, if there's anything else I can't think of, that's pretty much the big bit of it. So, well, happy Memorial Day to all the veterans out there before
Absolutely.
And after.
All that served.
Thank you for
and
your
those
service.
That aren't with us.
And I couldn't be sitting here without you guys. And you, of course, my grandfather, a veteran of World War II on the USS Iowa. So to all the servicemen out there, happy Memorial Day. And happy Memorial Day to you as well, Dad. Thank you very much for joining
Thanks for
me this week.
Me.
And we'll see you later. Andrew Danish, please, this is your time to shine.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes Store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.